This session is on planning. I'm sure you've all seen this kind of a sign. Plan ahead. Today we're going to do some planning together. I believe that if you're going to plan, you have to know what you're going to do. You have to know what your goal is. What is your goal in teaching? If you don't know your goal, you don't know whether you arrived or not when you get finished. So we should have a goal, and it's well to write it down. Don't just depend on your memory to remember it, because you'll forget some of the things that you hope to achieve in this particular lesson. How many of you make a lesson plan for every time you teach? Very good. Set down the goal that you want to get across, and don't make it unachievable. Make it realistic, but make it challenging to you. I think a lot of teachers set goals for their class. Let's say we have the story of Joseph. I'm teaching a teenage class. What should be one of my goals in teaching the early story of Joseph and the relationship with his father, for example? What kind of a problem did Joseph have? All right, jealousy with his brothers. Did he care about his brothers?
Yes.
How do you know he cared about his brothers?
All
right, he cried over his brothers when they finally came to getting back together again, but why did he tell his dreams to his brothers? He wanted them to share his dreams, but they didn't want to share them, did they? Because they were so much better than his. Or they thought theirs were so much better than his. Now, I'd like a little feedback from you. What kind of a goal do you have in your class, for example, for the next time you're going to teach? An overall goal for the time you're going. How many of you teach more than one session at a time? Do you teach long enough that you can reach a goal, or do you just teach one lesson and that's it? I think when we plan, when the powers that be plan, and the powers that be are us-ins, it's like the man said in the comic strip, we have met the enemy and they are us. We ought to be involved in the planning. And here's the point I want to get across here. You ought to be involved as the learner. I ought to be involved as the teacher. How many of you sit and plan what you'll do for your next session with your students? Let me see your hands. Don't they have brains? Do your students have brains? Anybody here have students that don't have any brains? Why don't you ask them what they want to study about? You see, Walter and I have planned what we would do in this workshop, but I didn't ask anybody here what you want. And it shows, doesn't it? Because you're going to get more lecturing today than you should get, because we planned and you weren't involved in the planning. I want you involved in this. Would somebody give me one goal that you had in teaching a lesson? Somebody, anybody in the class.
As far as the basic goal, to let my students know what knowledge I have about the subject, whatever the subject is.
Is that a good goal for me to let my students know how much I know about the Bible, Duane?
No.
I'm not tearing you up, Jay. I just want to bring the point. You'll have to suffer the point if you're going to be in my class, okay?
I've led before.
Duane?
You want to find out how much they don't know.
All right, that's one of the things that I'm going to try to find out in planning ahead, how much they don't know. What's the best way to find out how much a person doesn't know about the Bible?
Ask questions.
Ask questions. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Give me another goal, somebody. Gail? You were the devil's advocate then. That's a good way to find out how much they know, isn't it? Anybody else got one? Margaret?
To give them knowledge of the Bible to help them to apply it to their everyday life. Even though everything there is in the Bible, but if you don't know how to apply it to your everyday life, when you get out on the school ground or at work, how does this affect me today?
Now, your goal then is to lead them to act like the Bible teaches, right? Now, what do you use your story for in that case? Do you tell a story, Margaret?
Yes, there's a story of like Naaman or Joseph. It's just so full of lessons for today, you can't believe it. The fact that he did 7 times, well, that's sufficient.
And then you lead them to see that, that's the way we apply it in our life. Is it possible, Lowell, for me to have goals different than my students?
Sure.
Are my goals better than my students?
I hope.
Are they better than my students?
Depends on the student.
Anybody want to talk about that?
You may want to talk about
the
student.
Right. That's my point exactly. If I plan with my students, then my students have a voice in what we're going to study, what we're going to learn, and they're more interested in learning something that they had a voice in preparing. And this is true of anything we do in the church. You people who are elders and are here, if you want the congregation to be interested in what you're doing, ask them what they want to do. Don't tell them what we're going to do, ask them what they want to do. Get the feed in. That doesn't mean you have to accept. Because the teacher's role in this whole process in setting goals is, she has to get them to a certain point by the end of the year, doesn't she, if she's a good teacher. But how we get there is a matter of choice sometimes of the student, not of the teacher. The teacher may want to go in a direct line, a beeline, but the students want to take some side trips. There's nothing wrong with a side trip if you get back to the original goal. But if you don't get back to the original goal, then you just wasted your time. I used to have a teacher that our best entertainment was to get him off on China because he came from China. And if we could get him off on China, it didn't make any difference whether we were prepared that day or not because he would just ramble on about China for a half hour and we didn't have any class. And that's the way that students will do you too. If they don't have a part in learning, if you won't let them take a side trip, then they're going to take one without you, aren't they? So the first thing I believe in any lesson plan, any good plan for a teacher, is to sit down with her students and say, now, what do we want to learn about? And let's face it, there are some students who don't want to learn anything. You just ignore them and go on as if they weren't there. Because if they won't voice it, then you can't help them, can you? You follow me? But if they do voice it, then pay attention to it because it takes a lot of courage, as Walter says, to voice your opinion in class. It shouldn't, but it does. Bobby, do you have a thought?
Yeah, can you do this with the smaller ones?
Sure, you can do this with the smaller ones. Ask them what they want to know about Jesus, for example. What they want to know about Jesus' home. What they want to know about how Jesus behaved with his parents and this sort of thing. They'll come out with some questions, Jay.
It's easy to underestimate how much a young child wants to know because we're finding out at Dean Avenue, we've had a class going on for 3 years now with the little bitty ones and they've started to grow and you'd be surprised what they ask,
yeah.
What they know. They're more than me.
So the first thing on your list of planning ought to be, what are we trying to accomplish in this class? What are we going to learn? What is our goal? Now what kind of activities can we engage in to achieve those goals? I used to have a teacher that taught in the first grade, and I had the classroom right under her, a typing class. And she was always playing going to grandma's. Going to grandma's house. Because she was emphasizing the home and all the people in the home. So the best way to get children to understand that it's fun to go to grandma's house is to travel around and around the room, marching around the room. We're going to grandma's house. We're literally doing what we're thinking. What do we do when we get to grandma's house? Things that are fun when they get to grandma's house. Then she'd have an activity that was fun for them to do at their seat, maybe. Or quiet things like you might do at grandma's house. But they always walked around the room, and it sounded like a herd of elephants going over my my classroom when they did that. But she was a wise teacher. I want you to notice, when you came in this morning, what was the first thing you smelled?
Coffee.
Coffee. What was the first thing you saw? I can see where this group's mind is.
I saw a bunch of people lined up at the door. A
bunch of people lined up, that's good, isn't it? When you look around here in the classroom, what do you see? Do you see student activities? Now be careful, I'm going to catch you if you're not careful. How observing are you, really? Are these student activities? Grown-ups. Is that a student activity? I think that bulletin boards are beautiful. There's only one thing wrong with them. The student was left out. The teacher made the bulletin board. Maybe she let them cut out one of the things on the bulletin board. No? All of you did this. Yeah, okay. This is an adult bulletin board. Okay, I apologize. Deb?
It happened to be an empty tree.
Oh. Good, good. That is important. But have you, I want you to travel around in the classrooms before you leave today. I'm not doing this to embarrass Pleasant Hill, because it would be the same way if you came to Vandalia or went to Dean Avenue or most other places in the Brotherhood. They have beautiful pictures they bought at the dime store. Or they have beautiful things that the most artistic person in class did. These were activities that they did. I want to show you one activity, and this demonstrates the point. I think it's a good activity. It demonstrates the use of audio visuals. It demonstrates a point. What do all of you think of when you see that? A woolly worm, he's going up the stick. Then he became this, an old sock. Then he became this, he's just starting to come out. And then the most beautiful part of it is here on the wall. Why do I think that's the most beautiful part? Now, these illustrate the story very well. How we change from a worm into a beautiful person in different stages. The most beautiful part is the butterfly, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? Why is it the most beautiful? Did you notice anything wrong with that butterfly? Anything wrong with that butterfly? How would you have done it if you'd been coloring it? Would you have made both sides exactly alike? Yeah, you would have, wouldn't you? Because that's the way butterflies are. One wing is just about like the other wing. But they didn't, did they? Now, I say they because all the children colored that butterfly. Everybody had a part in it. See, it was a class project of cooperation and creativity. The only problem with this particular poster is, Nancy, what's the problem? Who drew the butterfly? I knew Nancy drew the butterfly. It's too good. See, it's almost perfect. Now, we think a butterfly is perfect, but you tell a child to draw a butterfly and it won't look like that, will it? All right, but he does. That's the important thing. Now, we're talking about activities to achieve the goals that we're after. Let's say that I'm teaching you to find out what God said about marriage and divorce. How would you go about that? What kind of an activity would you have? Let's say we're teaching young adults, junior high or senior high even. There are lots of adults that don't know how to find what the Bible says about a certain topic. How would some of you approach this topic? What activities would you engage in to help them to understand the question, the answer to the question? Randy?
I get either several topical Bibles or a concordance and go through it together and pick out scriptures that pertain to that, might pertain to that subject, and look them up.
All right, you're going to teach them the skill of using helps, references, and all kinds of materials, aren't you? That's your responsibility, to find what kinds of materials we need and then the activity we're going to engage in. Okay, what kind of activity are we going to engage in? We're going to engage in a hunt, search, and find activity, aren't we? This is kind of a quiet activity. Now let's suppose that I'm going to study the synagogue of the early Jews. What would you do as an activity? Make one? All right, that's an idea. You might make a model of one. What are you going to have to know about the synagogue in order to make it right? You want to get it right now. Huh? You have to know the size, you have to know the shape, you have to know where people sat, and where the minister stood, and all this sort of thing. You have to know lots of things about the temple before you make the model. That's the activity that you plan. I think it's a teacher's job to get the skills, help them to get the skills, help them to get the know-how so that they can do the activity, and then divide the work. There's no point in all the students making a model of the temple, is there, if we want to study the temple? We could all make one model and divide the work, and each one of us would have a part in it. Then when it came together, then we could see how ours fit with the other person. This makes me conform to the rest of the group, doesn't it? It teaches more than one thing at a time. I believe that it's the teacher's responsibility to see that the group is disciplined to the point that no one is hindered from learning. No one is hindered from engaging in the activity. And of course, we've already mentioned that she's a resource in herself. What kinds of materials do you have? Number three, what kinds of materials do you need to teach this class? This morning I asked them to have the overhead projector set up because I wanted to use it in part of my presentation. That helped me a lot that it was set up when I came. Well, you ought to have that set up when you come, before you come to class, because you're wasting people's time by setting up the projector while the class is going on. That's your problem. All kinds of resource materials. I think you might get an idea about how important you think other things than just the Bible are, like colored papers and all kinds of materials, by looking at your congregation's budget. How much is spent for learning materials in your budget as compared to how much is spent to keep the floor clean? Or compared to lighting the place. Now, lights are important. So is keeping the floor clean important. But if a teacher does not have proper materials, she cannot teach well. A teacher ought to have anything she wants at her disposal as long as it's within reason. The fourth thing that you ought to consider in your planning: we have goals, we have activities, we have the skills, we have materials. We ought to have a way of evaluating it. And this ought to go both ways. It ought to go not only to the student, you want to evaluate the student, but a self-evaluation is best for the student. Somebody said, "Oh dear, I'm in Miss Smith's class." Why did they say that, Walter?
They've heard bad things
about Miss Smith. Should I have the opportunity to choose what class I'm in your congregation? If I'm a student, should I have the opportunity of choosing which class I'm going to be in? Teacher evaluation. The best evaluation of a teacher is her students. What do the students think of their teacher? Now you say, well, that makes it a popularity contest. No, it doesn't make it a popularity contest. Students know who a good teacher is and who is a poor teacher. And sometimes we just don't have the courage to face up to the fact that we're not a very good teacher. We can be a better teacher, but we can't face up to the fact that we're not quite as popular as Miss Jones down the road, because if kids had their way, they'd stay in her class forever. You say we can't do that. We've got to divide the labor, can't we? Who do you allow to teach? Do you allow just anybody to teach? In the public schools, we don't allow a person to teach until they've passed a certain course of study, until they've had practice, until they've proven that they can teach. But in the church, sometimes we let anybody teach who can read. That's not fair to the teacher or the student, either one. So we ought to have a way of evaluating things. And sometimes we think the test is the only way of evaluation. That's not true. We can evaluate in many ways. We can evaluate, as Walter mentioned, by the expression on their face when they're in class. We can evaluate with a fun activity, just a review, a choose-up-side sort of thing. That's a good way of evaluating, even in a Bible class. Pit the boys against the girls, or the ones that have red hair against the blackheads, or something. Anything to get a little competition adds to the interest in evaluating. Last but not least, I think we need to take into account how much time is this going to take, this activity. Sometimes we do a poor job of planning time. Because you can't tell. If you give a person an opportunity to take time, then he's liable to take all he wants and more too. So you have to allow for students to get involved in the time element too. I think this is one of the most difficult things to do in teaching, is to portion out our time so that everything comes out with a conclusion. Did you ever go to class and you wonder why you went? They didn't come to any conclusion. I don't know any more than I did when I went. Why is that? Because we didn't have a goal. We didn't plan our time right, so we didn't reach the goal. I think many times we try to do too much in too short a time. Planning. I think the most urgent thing that I would insist upon with you is that you include the students in the planning. If I were to design another workshop like this one, I would have all of you tell me, what would you want us to do? And I'm hoping we can ask you that at the end of this session. What would you rather do than what we did do? And I hope that you'll respond, because this is totally against all my principles to stand up here and lecture to you, try to involve you when you weren't involved in the planning. Walter's going to tell you some techniques in teaching. You want to stand up and stretch and get a breath of fresh air?
Well, you're good. Will you answer Logan's
question? Sure, I'll answer any question. Try to.
We have a fancy machine on the book that comes to teaching and evaluating. Shouldn't there be something in the church, some way? There's good teachers and bad teachers that's been brought up. But some people, the ones here, have to be a plus. Because they spend the time coming to this. Well, let's face it, every church has something. They know the Bible, but they can't teach it. I don't care what you say. But yet they're a teacher. We're wasting our children's and our young people's time.
Those people need help. If they have a desire to teach, and then they don't have the skill of teaching, then they need to be taught the skill of teaching, but not the knowledge. They have the knowledge, but they don't know how to apply it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. But shouldn't there be some kind of a system or something? I'm not saying hard-nosed that. I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form. We need something. We're losing too many young people.
Well, this is why I believe the evaluation. I ought to be able to stand up to an evaluation if I'm going to be a teacher. I ought to be realistic. I shouldn't be offended if I find out that I'm really not a teacher. I should look at it, well, how could I become a teacher? Because the Apostle Paul said that teaching was the best gift that a person could have, the ability to teach. So if you want the gift, then you've got to work to get the gift. And that's another point we didn't discuss at all. Do you plan ahead to be a teacher? You teenagers, you young people, do you plan to be a teacher? Did you oldsters plan to be a teacher when you were learning? Did you watch the teacher and say, now when I get to be a teacher, I can do that? You should have. Should have been planned ahead. The church does not plan ahead for evangelists. It doesn't plan ahead for teachers. It doesn't plan ahead for elders. It ought to.
Amen.
Okay?
I've got
I've got a question. Does it ever come an end to asking myself, how can I become a better teacher?
Oh, no. No, as long as we're human, you'll never get over that. And God help you if you do. Because if you get over asking yourself, how can I be a better teacher, you've lost your humility, as Walter talked about, and you've also lost your goal. What's your goal? To be the best teacher you can be if you're really involved in teaching.
Martin,
yes?
The children that said, oh, Mrs. Smith, you know, didn't like them there, and the outspoken ones, where others might like that.
Right. This is why I believe that if I'm going to learn Bible, I want the best teacher I can get. Why did Paul go clear to Jerusalem to find Gamaliel? Because he was the best teacher Judaism has ever produced. And Paul knew where he was going, didn't he? He knew what his goal was. And he knew how to get there.
Now, he didn't know his goal was
there. Oh, I think he did.
I don't believe so.
His goal had always been to serve God the best he could. And that was the way he could serve him. Yeah. Yes, he was going the wrong direction, but we'll find we go the wrong direction sometimes too. Okay? I don't think the teacher's goal is half as important as the student's goal, number one. I think it's important that the teacher have a goal because she has to have a goal. She ought to be more mature than the students, hadn't she? Spiritually mature. I'm not talking about mature in age. I'm talking about spiritually mature. She ought to be able to see things the students cannot see. And that's why they don't have the goal she has. She ought to have a goal beyond them. But at the same time, she should listen to the goal they have because this is what they want to get out of it. This is what I want them to get out of it. And those two ought to be married into one goal for the class, I believe. Anybody else got a thought? Yes. They're imposed goals, aren't they? The goals that you're talking about have already been decided by whoever decides what is going to be taught by the curriculum.
Right.
I believe that a student ought to have a voice in deciding what we will learn because I want to know it. See what I'm saying? I think there ought to be some flexibility there. Yes, you can have the goal of covering the whole New Testament in 2 years, but nothing says that you have to cover every word of the whole New Testament, does it? See, the teacher is the one that has to be creative in making the material fit the situation, I think. Keith?
I think going back to that question that Jay asked there earlier, I don't think, you answered it well, I thought, but I've got a little thought on it, too.
All right.
I don't believe that we should try to make the students see how much we know, because they're going to find out anyway. I think we get a little too big-headed on this exam.
Yeah.
But the idea is to get them to search, find out where to find an answer.
Yes.
And I think that's guidance, I think, in that way.
We guide them. We don't push them down the road. Okay, Walter.
Yeah.
What? Okay, in the Corinthian letter, Paul says you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And I think you ought to ask your students, maybe we don't want to hear what the response would be, but you ought to ask your students every time you meet, did you learn anything today? Did you have fun? Will you be back next week? Because if they say, no, I won't be back next week, then you've got a real opening to contact that person and say, why aren't you coming next week? Why didn't you have fun? Is there anyone here who believes that learning has to be difficult, has to be painful? No pain, no gain? Is there anybody who believes that? Margaret?
It might be that way in the public schools, but church is a voluntary
thing. Yes. You can't do that in church. You can't do it in the public schools either.
Well,
really.
Right.
Right. Beth? Yes, there's no question about that. You are on top. You are the teacher. You are the guide. You are the authority in the class. When Jesus sat down and taught them as one having authority, they didn't have any question who was the boss in that class. But they felt free to engage in conversation even with the Lord himself. So I think we ought to maintain that, yes. We do have to have an authority image in the class to set up a learning situation. Why are we making all these plans? We are planning to learn. If you're standing on your head in the middle of my table, I can't learn while you're doing that, and you ought to be sat down and be made to realize that you are disturbing everybody at this table, and they can't learn. Not that I despise you, you little brat. I wish you was home with your dad and mom.
You notice I'm going to put this on my tie. Did you see?